Hi, this is Dan Sheridan bringing you the great news of God's transcendent grace. It's Wednesday, hump day. Weekend just around the corner. Hopefully your work week is going great. We are studying the soul on this program, and I don't know if about you, but yesterday's program made me hungry for steak again. That's right, the soul yearns for steak. Well, it's important to realize soul has to do with the sensations. If you didn't hear yesterday's program, go back and listen to it. The soul longs for sustenance, the products of the soil. Well, sometimes also the soul is used as a figure of speech. Soul is sometimes used to denote a person from the standpoint of his experience, his sensations. And I'll give you an instance in the life of our Lord Jesus Christ in the account of John's account, chapter 12. We're reading this, and I'm going to read from verse 26. If anyone should be serving me, let him be following me. And where I am, there my servant shall be also. And if anyone should be serving me, the Father shall be honoring him. Now is my soul disturbed, he says. Disturbed. Notice he says his soul is disturbed. He does not say my life is disturbed. This has to do with his sensations. What is the situation? What is his experience he's going through here? And then notice what he says after this. And what may I be saying? Father, save me out of this hour? We might add an ellipsis that says, no, I'm not going to say that. But therefore came I into this hour. Father, glorify thy name. Why was he disturbed? Because he, the Son of God, had to go through the cross of Calvary. Remember when he prayed to his Father, not my will, but your will be done. He did not want to go through that experience. It was against his will, but he knew he had to do it for the salvation of the world. And this is why our Lord's soul was disturbed. It doesn't say life. It was his sensation. Think about all our Lord went through during this time as he faced the cross and the suffering and the being forsaken by God. So he says, now is my soul disturbed. Well, there's another one in the Hebrew Scriptures, and I'm going to grab my copy of that right now, in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 18, verse 4. And bear with me as I get it here. My concordant version is in three volumes, Old Testament, that is. And so it takes me a minute to grab a copy. But Ezekiel 18, verse 4, we read, there it is. As I live, averring is my Lord Yahweh, the quoting of this proverb shall assuredly not apply to you in Israel any longer. Now, there was a saying in Israel that went like this. This is in 18, verse 2. The fathers ate unripe grapes, and the children's teeth become blunted. In other words, they were saying the children are suffering for the sins of the fathers. Now, here's what he says in Ezekiel 18:4. The Lord is responding. Yahweh is responding to this. He says, behold, all the souls, they are mine. The soul of the Father, even as the soul of the Son, they are mine. The soul that is sinning, it shall die. Notice what our Lord's saying there. Yahweh is saying the one who actually experienced the sensations connected with missing the mark. That's what sin is. Missing the mark. The soul that actually experiences that will die. Not the one who wasn't experiencing those sins, but the soul that experienced those sins, that person will die. That soul will die. Now, another reference, let's turn to Proverbs 12:10, and it's important that we see the context of where these things occur. In Proverbs chapter 12, again, our point here is that the soul has to do with the sensations. In Proverbs 12, verse 10, we read this, the just man knows the soul's needs of even his domestic beast, yet the compassions of the wicked are cruel. Now, I know. Notice what it says here, the soul's needs even of his domestic beast. What does that mean? Now, remember, we talked in previous programs that an animal is a soul just like you and me. Soul has to do with conscious sensations. Animals eat. They're aware of their surroundings, unlike plants. You and I, you, me, and doggy, Dixie, we're conscious. We're souls. And so in this passage here, the man is knows the soul's needs even of his domestic beast. In other words, he cares for its comfort and its food and its sustenance. And he's not just concerned for its life, but the soul's needs. you know, my dog has needs. We feed it and we also pet it. There are needs there. There are affectionate needs. And so notice in this passage in Proverbs 12:10 that it's really against cruelty to animals. Yet even the compassions of the wicked are cruel. So even a person, the just man, knows the soul's needs even of his domestic beast. Now, there's another reference that might be another comfort. This will be a comfort to us. In Matthew chapter 11, we read the following. Turn to Matthew 11, a very famous passage, in starting with verse 28 and 29. Matthew 11, 28 and 29. The Lord Jesus says, "Hither to me, all who are toiling and laden, and I will be giving you rest. Lift my yoke upon you and be learning from me, for I am meek and humble in heart, and you shall be finding rest in your souls, for my yoke is kindly." That word kindly means agreeable to the senses, by the way, and my load is light. So all those servants of the Lord here, he's referring to believers who are laboring and toiling. This verse has been misapplied to make it a salvation message or something, but the Lord is speaking to those who are serving him, that you're going through life's distress, and certainly anyone who takes upon them to serve the Lord and to herald his message, they're going to go through distress, trust me, if you've ever tried it. But he's saying he will find rest in your souls. Then, so notice that the soul goes through distress. You know, when you serve the Lord and you experience opposition and people speaking behind your back and all that other stuff, it's distressful. It's a burden to our soul, but our Lord's saying, take my yoke upon you and you'll be finding rest in your souls. So that's an important thing to see the use of the word soul there. Now I'm going to give you one other reference in Luke 19, verse 16. Let's turn there for a minute. Luke 19, verse 16. And again, the point of all this is to show how the word soul is used, that it has to do with the experiences of life, the conscious sensations. In Luke chapter 19, starting in verse 16, let's look there. Did I get the right passage? I did not get the right passage. Luke 12, verse 16, he told them a parable, saying, "The country place of a certain rich man bears well, and he reasoned in himself, saying, 'What shall I be doing, seeing that I have nowhere to gather my fruits?' And he said, 'This will I be doing, I will pull down my barns, and greater ones will I build, and I will gather there all my grain and my good things, and I will be declaring to my soul, soul, many good things have you laid up for many years, rest, eat, drink, make merry. Yet God said to him, imprudent one, in this night your soul are they demanding from you. Now what you make ready, whose will it be? Thus is he who is hoarding for himself and is not rich for God." Notice this here, that the soul wasn't going to enter into the enjoyment of the fruits and the things that he had. Now notice verse 22. "Now he said to his disciples, therefore I am saying to you, do not worry about the soul what you may be eating, nor yet about your body what you should be putting on." Notice the body had apparel, but the soul had to do with eating. "For the soul is more than nourishment and the body than apparel." This is just another example how the soul has to do with the sensations and the enjoyment of the products of the earth. So we go through these details here in this program because we want you to see, to start thinking scripturally with regards to this term soul. It has nothing to do as we were taught in the churches that the soul is the place where you have the highest communication with God, etc., etc. Nothing could be further from the truth. The soul has to do with our conscious experience, our sensations. Our souls eat, they yearn for food, for steaks, and all that other stuff. And as this program has taught us, it is used sometimes to denote a person from the standpoint of his experiences, his sensations. And we saw plenty of verses to show us that. Now, tomorrow we're going to start talking about the blood. The blood represents the soul, and this is important. Again, that's tomorrow. We'll be finishing the week on this topic, what is the soul, and these scriptures we'll be going through. And then next week, we're going to discuss what is death. So that's going to be important as well. But again, tomorrow, We're going to talk about the blood and the soul, and we're even going to address a verse that people often misunderstand. I've gotten questions about this recently. What about those souls under the altar in Revelation? What is that referring to? Well, we're going to get to that, so stick with us. This is Dan Sheridan. Thanks for listening. Remember this, the closer you draw near to God in the correctly cut, and might I say correctly translated scriptures, the less religious and ceremonial you will be.